I'm gonna try to make this a very quick audio video, and you know how I am. It's hard for me to do something, just get it done conversation wise. In the 3D, I just try to get stuff done and move on. So let me try this. I'll try to tell you this as fast as I can. Okay. Check this out. All right. To overcome the narcissistic system, you have to realize it's game theory warfare. And the game theory warfare is spiritual. So when one of the narcissistic agents, psychopathic narcissistic agents who sold their soul to the devil or who rejected Jesus over and over and over. And think about it. If somebody keeps rejecting Jesus, you must be born again. They become narcissistic, just like their daddy, the devil, because they're already in the kingdom of darkness, right? And so one of the ways that you overcome is you don't tell them the stuff you already overcame. Yeah, the devil might know some stuff, but these individual narcissists, they're just looking at you according to their experience in life and how they tried to dehumanize or get people to submit, you know, to their agenda or whatever it is. They're trying to overpower you, take away your will. They're trying to mess with your emotions. First of all, the biggest thing they're doing is they're trying to get you out of truth into emotion. If you can understand that, you've already won. And so when you understand that truth trumps emotions and you bring your emotions under subjection to truth, you win. So this narcissistic system has a bunch of agents. They might even be in church. They might be in your home. They might be at work. They might be the neighbors. They might be somebody you're connected to for whatever reason, through kids or whatever, you know. And so you have to realize this game is going on not because it's against you. It's really the devil mad at God, trying to hurt God through you, you know, attacking Christ in you. And so this game that's going on, a lot of these people don't even know that they're possessed or taken over by this spirit. And so this tormenting spirit has to come out of them. And many years I thought about this. I thought, how is it possible they can almost read your mind? Well, think about it. A lot of them are hearing from demons. A lot of them are hearing their thoughts are from demons. Think about it. If they're not from God, if the thoughts that we have are either from God or the world system or the devil, if everything in their mind is a worldview from the devil's system, where do their thoughts come from? The devil. Everything in their thought process is the devil, the Pharaoh. Now think about the Pharaoh. Think about the unsaved. They're living in fear. They don't have trust that God is going to take care of them. They're living in fear. They're living in doubt. They're fear, worry, insecurities. They're living in. Think about the Pharaoh. How he was. He wanted all those people working for him, and he was just sitting there. He had his magicians. Think about that. The Pharaoh had his magicians that he was controlling because they have their sorcerers and their witches and their witchcraft and all that. Think about it. Their tarot cards are trying to predict the future and all that. We just trust God. And God gives you the desires of your heart, right? Lord, I want to get out of debt. Okay. All right, let's just rest. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Okay, I'll make a way of escape. You might have to sacrifice. You might have to take a part-time job, but yeah, we'll make it happen. God is on your team. The devil's on their team. And the devil is a psychopath. He's narcissistic. He lives in fear because he knows he's going to hell. He knows he's going to be burned forever in the lake of fire. He knows that a thousand years, he's going to be bound for a thousand years. And he also knows at the end of the thousand years, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and hit the never-ending torture. He knows that. So they're under torture. So what do they want to do to you? Try to torture you. Everything that's happening to them, they're wanting to put on you. They're wanting to project that onto you. It makes them feel good. Have you ever noticed the eyes of a narcissist when they torment you? They try to torment you. Now, when you see this game, you already know that everything about them is demonic. So when you're around them, you're always on guard. You're always watching. You know that they're going to try to come up with some kind of weird, bizarro land, fake reality, insanity, you know. And so you'll see the hive mind when they have one agent trying to overtake, right? The hive mind kind of supports that agent, even if they don't know that person. And you'll start to see things weird happening, you know. And then when you finally knock that agent out, then they feel like they can come in. In other words, let's say there's a Jesuit. Let's say there's a, it could be a guy or a woman, but let's say there's a guy and he's just going about his business. And there's this Jezebel that's kind of got her eye out for him because she thinks, well, if I get in, I can emotionally manipulate him and I can get in and demasculate him and take over his house and his finances and everything. And so the other Jezebels that are watching this guy, they have to step back because she says, I'm taking over this. And they all step back, right? Now, when you defeat her, what happens? Then another one comes in. I'm going to take over. Then you defeat her, another one comes in. And they start to scratch their head. They think, we got to come up with a new plan. Let's do it this way or this way. And then the Holy Spirit's going to show you, because think about it. This is how the Holy Spirit will show you that somebody is on the side of the devil. When they open their mouth, it doesn't line up with Scripture. See how easy it is? When they open their mouth, it doesn't line up with Scripture. It's really easy. And they don't even know. They don't even know how you see through them. They don't even know how you see through them. The way we win is the Scripture. You want to run some Jezebels away? Just say, wives, submit to your husbands. And that's all you have to say. And they run so fast and they throw a fit and scream and yell and throw a fit. It's just crazy. And the women, how would a woman run off a narcissistic guy? Okay, so I watched this situation in the real world where this guy talked nice to this girl, got in her world, come to find out everything he said was not real, lazy, not really wanting to do anything, get ahead in the game, losing a job here and not trying to get ahead in life or do anything strategic about making things. You know how you see these guys, the wife's working 40, 50 hours a week and the man's at home playing video games, you know, stuff like that. I mean, here's the way a woman could catch that demonic spirit in a man. He wants the roles to be changed. He wants her to be the man. And he just chills, you know. Lets her do all the work. That's one way. He tries to flip the roles, you know. And he's just at the house chilling while she's working herself to death, you know. Women know more about that than us men because that's what they live with every day. But anyway, when you use the Scripture, they might be slick, but they're not slicker than the Bible. You catch them every time. Now, nobody's perfect. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's perfect. But if they're willing to communicate and you say, let's sit down and talk. They already know if they're on the dark side, they're already afraid. Let's sit down and talk. If they're on the right side, okay, let's sit down and talk. What you got? The righteous are as bold as a lion. But the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Let's sit down and talk. I notice you've been trying to hide your phone and stuff like that. Can I look at it? Yeah. If she's righteous, yeah, here. You pay the bill, so here. It's your phone anyway. We're a team. We're family. We're one. We're on the same page. We're saved. We're going towards the same goal. But if you say, I notice you've been trying to hide your phone and some weird stuff going on. Can I look at your phone? No, you're not looking at my phone. You're evil. You're a bad man. You don't trust me. Screaming and yelling. Oh, so you got secrets. Oh, so you got a secret checking account. Oh, I'm talking about a married couple. Oh, you got a secret checking account. Oh, you have to go in the other room when you talk to your mom, all right? Oh, okay. So you're still tied to your... You didn't create a new family. You're still tied to the old paradigm, huh? It's obvious, people. You know how to catch them by just using the Bible. So when you're dealing with a narcissist, though, it's game on, and it's easy to see the game. And if you use longevity, the long game, you don't let them upset you. You play the long game. So let's say you're in a house with one of them, the man or the woman's dealing with it. And you know that if you get mad and get upset or you throw something or something, they might call the police on you for throwing something or make stuff up. So you play the long game. You play the long strategy. And if you're getting ready to leave, you've got to do it in a way they don't know about it, because they're going to throw a fit. Because the Pharaoh threw a fit, right? Chased them down. The more I think about that Pharaoh, and the more I think about the Egyptian experience, you can look at his magician priest class. What do we see today? We see the sorcerers and the tarot cards and the fake prophetess, the fake prophets, and Pythia, the seer of Pythia. What she would sit on that, she would sit on that chair, and the fumes would come up through the rocks and put her in another state of mind, and she would say, I'm seeing things. But you know, the devil's a liar, and the devil's just going to prophesy lies. You know, all the movies with all the witches, you see them all in a cave, two or three of them together, right? And they come out of the cave and they yell at some guy, you're the future king. We know what you are. You're the king. Well, okay. Whatever. What was the benefit of that? They sit over here and they do these tarot cards and they might see one or two things. Well, you're called to do this. Okay, all right, whatever. Now, they might have some false prophecies. You're going to be killed by a rock falling off that mountain. To put it in fear, see, the way the witches work, because I know this whole reality works, the thing that you fear most come upon you, right? Your thoughts, that's what the book of Job, you know? Your thoughts create copies. And so the only way a witch could ever put a spell on anybody, really, a Christian's covered by the blood, so they can't put a spell on you, but what they can do is put fear on you and try to get you to think, oh no, it's the end of the world, oh no, it's a scarcity, which is a lie. Scarcity lie is not, is what you need to say. Anytime you think scarcity, you need to say it's a scarcity lie to yourself. But you create thought patterns And those things manifest because everything's a copy down here, made in God's image. Everything's a copy. The seed, the farmer puts a seed, a watermelon seed, and he gets a watermelon back. Everything that you do, if you start doing healthy stuff, you're going to be healthy. If you start doing unhealthy stuff, you're going to be unhealthy. If you start thinking and meditating on healthy stuff, you'll eventually get to where you act on the healthy stuff, and you'll actually walk in it. And it will become an appearance in the holographic experience. Because this is hologram means a story written by the hand of one person. And so this story down here in 3D is written by the hand of one person, namely Jesus. God through Jesus made all things. And so the storyline that's playing out in your life, they want to write it. They want to write your script. But God has already written your script. And if you know that the person around you is narcissistic, the more you're under their roof, the more you're under their influence, the more they're writing into your script. And they're not going to tell you anything positive. They're not going to push you to the higher levels because they want to step on you. And so when I look at this whole game down here, we're dealing with people. I wanted to say devils, and they're not always devilish. You know, when the demon comes on them, that's when they become devilish, because it says in the Bible he can take them captive at his will. They might have some good tendencies. They're going to be all nice and all vulnerable when they need something, right? And so, poor pitiful me, please help me. But as soon as you help them, 5 minutes later, they turn back into a devil, right? I've seen that. I studied a sociopath for like 6 years on the job. She worked there for a while, and I noticed early in the morning when she was nice, I was thinking, wow, man, she's in a good mood today. And about 12 o'clock, she said, can you give me a ride home? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed on the days where she didn't need a ride, she was just mean as a snake all day and didn't need a ride home. And I started putting the puzzle pieces together, and it was like, oh, she's just a game player. But the whole time working with her, she was living with some dude, and she was mad. Well, my boyfriend don't work. My boyfriend don't work. That's what it was. She had moved in. She didn't have anywhere to stay, so she moved in at his place. But he was living with his mom, and I'm sitting here taking her home when the man's not willing to come pick her up. And I started, after a while, because I was studying this. I knew she was a sociopath, so I was just studying the way she talked. But after a while, I said, no. I can't do that. I've got a little side business I'm working on. So as soon as I quit, so I thought, why am I helping her when she's got a boyfriend? So I'm really helping him to be lazy. I'm enabling her and him to be lazy and not be introspective. So then after I did my little research on studying this sociopath, because I knew she was a sociopath just by the way she talked. After I did my research, I pretty much said, I got some other stuff I got to do. And then guess what happened? Soon as I said, nah, I'm not going to give you a ride home. This is a business car, and I'm not going to put mileage on my car. Guess what happened? All the universe started to work together, and she ended up getting fired for yelling at somebody or wanting to fight somebody. And she got fired, and she moved out on down the road. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Do you understand what I'm telling you? When you see through the narcissist, the psychopath, the sociopath, and you wake up to the game, they have to redo the script. Like I said, the devil is doing an orchestration around you with certain types of people, namely psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists. And as soon as you wake up to the game, the one they're trying to get into your world and spy out your liberty or whatever, just like the Pharaoh hated the freedom of the Israelites. They see that you're free, and they can't get in there and mess up your freedom and your destiny and your goal and your progress. What do? You saw through that one, you cut it up. They send another one. It just keeps happening. Because it's just like Israel fighting the Gentile nations. Israel sent spies out, right? And the Rahab the harlot protected the spies, and the Gentile nations would send spies. And so it's like a spy game going on. But we already know the truth. We already know what their game is. They hate that you worship God. They want you to worship Baal. They want you to worship B-A-A-L. They want you to worship the devil. They want you to be a part of their cults and their isms. You worship the true God. So they're trying to get you to worship them. Jezebel wants you to worship her, but her end game is really not to worship her, but worship the demons that she worships, the false gods, eventually. If you worship a human and they want you to worship them, then what happens is they already know that you will be a tendency to worship the false gods of this system. And Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, he fell into idolatry because of 1,000 concubines. And that is what the 1,000 points of light are about. They hit you with so many things in this life to see what you're going to be, what your propensity is. Do you like cars? Do you like video games? Do you like houses? Do you like money? Do you worship dollar bills? Do you like a blonde? Do you like a brunette? Do you like the women that have the big chest? Or do you like the woman with the big behind? Or do you worship your tools? Or do you worship your clothes? Do you worship the TV, the music? Do you worship being lazy? Do you worship your own weightlifting? I remember in college we used to lift weights 3 times a week. It becomes addictive. It becomes addictive. I wasn't saved. And you're sitting there lifting weights saying, you're like, oh. And then when you get hurt, you're like, oh, can't worship your own body. You got to take care of your body. You worship yourself. They want you to worship yourself. They want you to worship an idol, a human. This is why I believe most marriages fail. Because 2 people get together and they actually think that person is the perfect person. And then when they get married, they find out they have faults. And it's like their whole image is gone because they were in idolatry to begin with. They don't teach us this stuff. Even the preachers don't talk about this kind of stuff. When a person's young and you go to the preacher should say, wait a minute, before you get married, do you know this person has some faults? Yeah. Do you really know their faults? Have you really spent enough time? Do you know what they believe about finances? Do you know what they believe about kids? Do you know what they believe about in-laws and outlaws? And do you know what they believe about TV and music and radio? And do you really know what you're getting into? Do they drink? Do they have any kind of an addiction? Do you really know what you're getting into? If you really went through the process of some kind of premarital thing, most people wouldn't get married. Actually, most people end up staying single. And that's probably kind of what's going on in our society now. You scroll through enough shorts and most people are just, they're tired of it. But instead of them sitting down and talking to somebody real, about the real deal, you know, they just stay by themselves. I see a lot of people in my day-to-day interactions, and most people are by themselves, or most people are shacked up, or the ones who are married, they're not happy. I promise you, I'm an expert on this because I talk to a lot of people. I can't even go into details, but I know what I'm talking about. Most of the people who are married, most of them, I'm not saying all, most of them are not happy. They're actually miserable. And the ones who shack up, the reason they're shacking up is because they're afraid of being in a committed relationship. And the ones that stayed single, they've already been through so much trouble, they say it ain't worth it anymore. I want my peace. I know what I'm talking about because I talk to a lot of people. And on the average day, and on the average month, and the average year, I know what I'm talking about. And it's a fractal, and time don't exist. And what I saw as a child is still happening now. The only difference now is there's a lot of people on social media talking about stuff, but it was true even when you were a child. Think back when you were a child. The ones that were single seemed to be the happiest. Think about it. They traveled. They did this. They did whatever. There was no fighting. There was no court stuff. There was no going to courts and all that. But the ones who were married, there always seemed to be a fight or an argument or throwing stuff, court cases, child custody cases. Think about it. Think about when you were a child and remember some stuff. Think about the churches you were in you would hear about, even at school, you'd hear about your friend's parents doing this or doing that. And I remember I had a friend, and he said, I can't go into detail right now, but I'll say this. There's times when there's things going on. There might be a family member is going getting so drunk and just so crazy that there's DWIs, there's fights, and there's yelling and screaming. And it's like, how could you ever find God in the midst of that chaos, you know? You've already seen it. So what's the problem? The problem is you don't realize there's a warfare going on in the spirit realm from the devil to take over these flesh-minded creatures who are not born again, but they know enough verbiage, terminology to convince you that they're saved, but they never been born again. So if I say, hey, let's sit down and talk. Hey, honey, let's sit down and talk. I got a problem. How are you going to be able to do that with somebody who's not really saved? Because they're going to be defensive automatically. There's no reason to get defensive because everybody messes up. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got stuff they need to work on. But it don't need to be resolved with throwing stuff and yelling and screaming and calling their mom and their mama and going across the street, running across the street, crying and making stuff up and gaslighting and trying to get people to be on your a bunch of flying monkeys to attack the other one. I mean, if there's so many narcissistic channels, teachers, psychopathic narcissists, teachers out there, if there's so many channels talking about this, then it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. And what is a pandemic? It's a spiritual pandemic. And my only suggestion is you better be able to communicate with somebody on hard topics, and they don't run away scared crying, you know. Because if they run away scared crying, they're trying to hide something. They're not willing to admit this is a two-way thing. It takes two to tango. And if one person thinks they're righteous and you're not, and they're perfect and you're not, that's not a two-way situation. That's one way. And that's somebody setting themselves up above you, you know? Just like the Pharaoh. And when God taught Israel how to fight, and just like you're going through all these struggles, God is teaching you how to fight this fight. Because it's a pandemic, and it's a spiritual pandemic. He's teaching you to be aware of the subtlety. The devil's more subtle than any beast of the field. So these agents are very subtle. A lot of these channels are very subtle. A lot of these liars are very subtle. S-U-B-T-L-E. Look it up. And really, when you unfold that word enough, you'll find out it's like a Tor network. It's so subtle, it's under the radar, that they're manipulating you with words and body language without you even knowing it, until you become aware of it. So every move and action, these people don't just act and move their arm and their eyes and their words without a motive. Everything they're doing is a motive. They're playing a strategic war game with your emotions, your will, your intellect. And this is not a joke. They're very subtle, and they've been doing this since a child, and they're not going to change. If you think you can change them, if you think you can fix them or change them, you're in delusion, because if God can't fix them and change them, then you don't have a chance. Anyway, I'm hearing some like creaking noises in my house since I've been talking about this. Make sure nobody's breaking in. This is kind of like bizarro land, hearing these creaking noises, because I'm actually revealing the real game here. I wouldn't be surprised if the demonic realm comes after me after uploading this video, because this is real, people. Think of yourself like Israel fighting the Gentiles. Think of yourself like Israel leaving the Pharaoh. Think of it fractally. Think of yourself like Elijah and Jezebel's chasing him down to kill him. Think of yourself like that when Paul was preaching and that demon-possessed woman was following him around, and he had to rebuke the demon out of her. They chase you. Think of yourself like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. He'll give you a rest for 2 or 3 days or a week, but he's always scheming to come up with another way. Because they're void. Think about it. They're void. They have no spiritual life, except for the demonic realm, the dark side. And you can see them a mile away. You can see them a mile away. If you open your eyes, you can see them a mile away.